Thanks for checking out the Lakeshore Podcast. If this is your first time listening with us, we want you to know God loves you. We want for your hope in Jesus to be renewed and for your faith to come to life. Wherever you are joining us from, we hope this message encourages you.
Got a Bible again, 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and John chapter 14. If you've been tracking with us, this is the second study in a series, part of a larger conversation that we're going to be in for a little bit. And we're talking about what does God's Word say about our involvement with the person of the Holy Spirit and what He does in us and what He does through us and what He wants to do among us. And we're going to press in a little deeper into things like that. If you were here two Sundays ago, so last Sunday was Mother's Day, the Sunday before that, we began the series and we talked about the importance of growing spiritually. It seemed kind of basic and fundamental, but it's funny that even us as Christ followers can kind of lose that. We're really good about paying attention to our physical health, or at least to things that are not great with our physical health. We're really good about paying attention to our emotional health, to our mental health, to our relational health, and for those of you that are in leadership or owning a business, to organizational health, and we could just keep stacking those. But it's funny that as Christians, we don't often think about spiritual health. It's like we just assume that, well, we're going to heaven and everything else just kind of happens. But the Bible is really intentional about helping us to recognize what does it mean to grow spiritually? What does that look like? What are the mechanics? What are the truths? What are the things we need to be attentive to in order to become spiritually healthy and maturing and growing stronger, just like we would in multiple other areas of our life? And so we established the importance of spiritual people need to grow spiritually. So then this morning, we're going to move right into the things of the Spirit, and we're going to talk about the person of the Holy Spirit. So we're going to introduce the person of the Holy Spirit this morning. And this is really important because when it comes to their faith, there's a lot of Christians that they know a few things about God the Father. They could probably give you, you know, a pretty good explanation who God the Father is and what he, you know, what his part is in this. People understand who Jesus the Son is and the Savior, but it's pretty amazing how many Christians you'll meet, and they really don't know who the Holy Spirit is. In fact, if you ask them to explain, just give me some of the basics, and they're going to refer to him as it. Or, well, you know, it's kind of this thing that happens, or he's some kind of a power or an energy. It's a, I don't know, it's just kind of a mysterious thing. I know it when I feel it, but I don't. But they really don't understand who the Holy Spirit is. And here's kind of the next layer that I've observed over and over again. Even though they don't understand who the Holy Spirit is, it's kind of like a lot of Christians have this other walled off buffer area that even though they really don't know him, they're not really sure they're interested in knowing him. Now, there's good reason for that, by the way, and part of it has to do with a lot of misunderstanding in Scripture, a lot of circles of the Protestant faith. Man, the Holy Spirit is approached from I don't know how many different angles. Some of them say that you can read about him in the New Testament, and it was good for the book of Acts, but after that, it's really not relevant for today, so you don't really need to know about that. Others kind of, you know, lean in and say, well, you know, yeah, he's part of the Godhead, but yeah, you don't want to get in too deep because that stuff just gets weird and it gets wild and it's unpredictable. And then there's others that are on the other side of the spectrum that will push this and will be constantly just leaning in, but it's all about the experiential side. It's all about what you feel and how things look and how things are going to be unfolding. And we need to come back and recognize God's Word has a really great grid, has a really great explanation for this. And what I'm hoping is that we can go back and open up the Word of God. Now, I don't want you to think if you're here and you have been, you know, raised in a pretty good environment with the Holy Spirit and you understand Spirit-filled things and you feel like you have a good relationship with Him. I don't want you to feel like that, you know, that, well, this is something I already know that. I've kind of already been doing that. I pretty much know everything I need to know. I can promise you, you don't. You absolutely don't. In fact, One of the dangers that we have as Christians, if we're well-versed in God's Word and we do have a personal experience with the Holy Spirit, one of the dangers we have is allowing it to become stale. Allowing it to become, well, you know, that's just normal. And we lose the preciousness. And when we do that, we tend to lean back instead of lean forward. When the Bible tells us, listen, we will never tap out in our getting to know the Holy Spirit. In fact, if we're reading our New Testament right, it doesn't just stop, well, once we get to heaven, we'll know everything. No, you'll be able to see everything clearly, more clearly than you can now, because the veil's kind of pulled back and we can see with our eyes some things that we read in the Bible now. But the Bible goes on to say that God will spend the rest of all of eternity, which don't try to wrap your brain around that, you can't. The rest of all of eternity, God will continue to introduce himself. The Holy Spirit will continue to open up and to share some things with you. And so our relationship with the Holy Spirit is ever growing. And so I want to make sure, if you're here and you already know this, that this is going to be an encouragement, an inspiration, a sharpening to you, and you're going to keep growing. Now, let me just say this one last thing, and then we'll get right into the scripture. Every time I talk about the Holy Spirit, I always run across people who might be here, and even the mention of the topic, man, you're already like, where did I get myself into here? And you've probably had a bad experience, or you've had some bad teaching, or I don't know, something, but something's put up a guard, or something's put up a filter, and you're pretty convinced already. Your mind's already made up. Hey, I think I'm doing good, and I really don't want to be involved in this stuff. I don't want to know what the Bible says. I don't want to lean into that. I'm pretty sure that I'm good right where I'm at. And listen very carefully. You're the perfect person that I really want to talk to. And this is the perfect church for you to be in, because you have my promise right now from myself and every one of our pastors and leaders. I will never, ever, ever make you feel awkward. I will never put you in a situation where you feel like, I don't know what to do, and I feel like I'm being cornered here, and I probably, and they're expecting me to. I'll never, ever do that. Instead, here's what we're going to do. We're going to walk through the scriptures pretty gently. We're going to let the scriptures talk to you. We're going to let the Holy Spirit himself, through the scriptures, introduce himself to you, so that you can get to know him the way you're supposed to get to know him, without all the clutter, without all of the pressures and the pushing and the pulling and all these other directions. I don't want you to experience any of that. And you may still, at the end of this long conversation, you may still say, Pastor, I appreciate that, and I've gone through every scripture, I've listened to the podcast, and I've kind of leaned in, and I'll just be honest with you, I still don't buy into this. And if that's you, let me just tell you, you have every right. God gave you that right not to. But here's the benefit of going through the study. At least when you get to that point, you'll know exactly who and exactly what you're not buying into. And you won't have made a decision because of some distortion or because of some experience or somebody who really is passionate and really loves Jesus tried to push something on you. All that stuff will be uncluttered. It'll be out of the way, and you'll be able to see the Holy Spirit and meet him for who he really is. And then, like all of us have, we have a God-given right to make our own choice. So this is the perfect place for you. And so let me just encourage you to lean in, and let's go on a little bit of a discussion, and let's look at what the Bible says about who the Holy Spirit is. Am I doing okay so far? I didn't freak anybody out, right? You all right? Okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, we're going to begin in verse number 17. Now, normally, if you're here, I lean a little more towards the traditional translations, only because I want to stick really close to the original language. However, I'm going to use the New Living Translation this time because it does a pretty fair job for what we're going to look at, and it says it in very plain conversational language so we can understand it clearly and easily. So 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17, the Apostle Paul's writing to the church at Corinth, and here's what he says. For the Lord is the Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So all of us who have had that veil removed and can see and reflect the glory of the Lord, and the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image. Now let's go back to the top of 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. And I just want to start with that initial phrase because it's a great way to introduce who this person of the Holy Spirit is. It says, "For the Lord is the Spirit." You don't have to be a theologian, but if you like to read your Bible and to study a little bit, that might cause you to pause, to kind of step back and scratch your head a little bit and say, wait a minute. Other places in the New Testament tells me that Jesus is the Lord. So why would the Apostle Paul very intentionally introduce the Holy Spirit as Lord? Well, which one is it? Is Jesus the Lord or is the Holy Spirit the Lord? Well, it helps to understand that the word Lord comes from the Greek word kurios, and it literally means a master or an owner or someone who's been given supreme authority. From there, we can kind of back up and we look at the Bible as a whole, and we see passages like Psalm 24 that says, the earth belongs to God and everything on the earth and everybody on the earth. He's the owner, he's the controller, he's the creator of all of it. Then we see scriptures like in Micah that says the Lord our God is one God, and we recognize that we serve one God, but that God is demonstrated in the Bible in three different persons, and that's not brand new information to most Christians. We know that there's God the Father, and there's God, Jesus, you know, the Son, and we know that the Holy Spirit's in there somewhere. We're just not really sure how it all works. And this is a really clumsy example, but it really helped me, examples like this, to be able to get at least a broad embrace of what the Trinity means. Think of a company. Think of a company, and you have the owner of the company. You have the chief operating officer of the company, and then you have like the floor manager of the company. And when you look at all three of those, you say, well, which one's the boss? Well, they're all the boss. It depends on the situation that you're in, which one's actually going to make the call, but they all work in sync together at the top level of that organization's leadership so that they can have a profitable and a fruitful company. If you scan through the Bible, here's what you're going to find. Again, this is very simple, but here's what you're going to find. The Bible introduces God the Father as the sovereign owner, the king, the judge, the originator and the supreme authority over everything. Not just the earth, not just the universe, everything. It also introduces God the Son, Jesus, as the initiator or the implementer of the Father's plans. So lots of times you'll hear this was God's plan, for example, redemption. God's plan was that he loved the whole world so much that he sent Jesus so that Jesus could buy our redemption. But then Jesus, like a CEO, COO, he's the implementer of the plan. So he steps in and says, okay, so here's how we're going to do that. And then you see that the Holy Spirit's introduced. He's the mediator. He's the manager. He's the one who empowers the day-to-day operations. And all three of these work in sync together. They're a perfect team. They're a perfect harmony to the point that the Bible says we worship them as one God. So when we look back at 2 Corinthians chapter 3, this is specifically referring to you and I and our ability to live in the freedom that salvation implies. And Paul's telling us, yes, when it comes to you experiencing the freedom of God in your life, not just your spiritual life, any area of your life, starting with your spiritual life, all the way out to every external circumstance, when it comes to you experiencing God's best, yeah, the Holy Spirit is the Lord, or the Holy Spirit is the overseer of the day-to-day activities, the day-to-day unfoldings of what's going on in your life from the inside all the way to the outside. In fact, for those of you that were here 2 weeks ago in the first message, we went back to Luke chapter 4. Jesus visits his hometown, and he picks up the scroll of Isaiah, and in front of the whole congregation, he reads out of Isaiah 61, and he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because," or here's why, "because he's anointed me," and then he gives six different areas that covers the whole gamut of the human experience. It says he's anointed me to come and to work on behalf of God so that our life can be everything it's supposed to be. But here's how he says I'm going to do that. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me." And he's going to use me now as a human, as a man on this earth. He's going to use me to initiate those six different areas where God can completely set us free. That's the same thing that Paul's saying here. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, again, verse 17, "For the Lord is the Spirit. And wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." Now, the word freedom is the word liberty, and it's talking about it starts on the inside when you begin to recognize, I don't have to live with this limitation. I don't have to continue to be addicted. I don't have to stay in this pattern. I don't have to stay with the generational mindset. I can be everything that God wants me to be. There are no limits on me. I can keep experiencing the best that God has. It says, anytime the Spirit of the Lord is there, you're going to begin to catch glimpses of that. You're going to have those moments where all of a sudden you realize, man, I know God could do this. I know this is what he wants. But it goes on, and with that, it gives us two insights, and I'm going to unpack them, and then I'll show them to you in the scripture. Here's what it's saying to us. It doesn't matter what it is right now that's fighting you on the inside or the outside and challenging you to control or to limit your life or your circumstance, nor does it matter how long you've been in that. You could just be reflecting exactly what your parents reflected and the generation before that. And as long as you can remember, well, that's just how our family is. We're just like that. But you want to be different. Something happened when you accepted Christ and a light came on and you realized, I don't have to stay like this. There's a whole different place for me. And you want that. Yeah, it doesn't matter what's holding you back or how long it's been holding you back. If you've accepted Jesus Christ, you have the Holy Spirit there. And wherever the Holy Spirit is there, listen carefully, there's an opportunity for freedom. Now, a lot of Christians stop right there and say, whoa, okay, I get it. You can point that to me in the Bible, but here's the big question. Then why am I not experiencing freedom? Why have I been a Christian for all this time and I'm still limited or I'm still controlled or I'm still in this mindset or this addiction or this pattern? How come I'm still there? And here's the second thing. Listen carefully. Because just because the Holy Spirit is Lord of all doesn't mean that you've allowed him to be Lord over all. Just because he's the Lord of all doesn't mean you've allowed him to be Lord over all. In fact, allowing him to be the Lord over all, that's what it means to grow mature and to learn to surrender or submit yourself to the Lord. It's not just an acquiring and a discipline of doing all the right things. But it's also creating that vulnerability in your life where you're opening up and you're allowing the Holy Spirit to come and work on those things that you really would prefer nobody knows about. You don't even want to face them. But they're realities in your life. In fact, Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says that as we renew our mind to the Word of God, something happens in the deepest part of our life and we begin to change from the inside out. It's literally a metamorphosis. We transform from the inside out, and we can see it, and other people can see it, that we go from one level to the next level to the next level, and we just keep growing better and better and better and better, and that's all by what the Holy Spirit's doing in our life. That's verse 2. But if you back up to verse 1, it starts and it says, I'm begging you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you would present yourself a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to the Lord, because that's the reasonable thing, or that's the logical thing, or that's the most rational thing you can do in the kingdom growth and maturity. Here's the problem. When most Christians read that, they think, okay, present myself as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. They automatically think that means I'm praying, that means I'm giving, that means I'm reading my Bible, that means I'm doing nice things, and all those things that could be part of it. That's great. But you don't understand that also means that you're being vulnerable and you're opening up the ugliest, most embarrassing, most debilitating part of your life. In fact, if you take the illustration of a sacrifice and you go all the way back to the Old Testament, yes, they would get a lamb that was spotless. They would get a lamb that was pure and they would bring that to the sacrifice. But before they slaughtered the lamb and put it on the fire, they would lay hands on the lamb and confer all of the sins, all of the transgressions, all of the weaknesses, all of the vulnerabilities of the people on that lamb. So when they laid the lamb on the sacrifice, it was both holy and pure, and also it was all the imperfections and all that burned up in the fire. And God says, that's what I'm talking about. Your life has to get to the point where we're submitted to the Holy Spirit. And I'm not just sharing the wonderful things with Him. It's not just devotion time, but it's me coming to Him in my shame and in my embarrassment and saying, I did it again. I don't know how to break this. But you know, I'm opening my life up to you. Please come. Open up. Help me. Show me. Empower me. See, that's growth and maturity. He becomes the Lord over all. Not just the things that you're proud of. Not just the things that are in line with Him. He becomes the Lord over all. In fact, one scholar translated 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17 like this. Now the Lord is the Spirit. Listen to this part. And wherever the Spirit is Lord, that's where there's freedom. The Lord is the Spirit, but wherever you allow Him to be the Lord of your life and you've surrendered that to Him, now that's where freedom's going to happen. But if you haven't, then it belongs to you. Jesus paid for it. The Holy Spirit's there to provide it for you. But if you're not submitted to Him, if you're not surrendered, if you keep it packaged up and you're trying to handle it on your own and somehow you're going to get better and then you'll be proud enough to show it to the Lord, then you're going to really struggle. That was never His plan. Now let's move on in verse 18. It says 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. So all of us who have had that veil removed, that's talking about you've accepted Jesus. So spiritually, your eyes are open now. You can see things from a spiritual perspective. People that haven't accepted Jesus can't. They can try to understand theological concepts from an intellectual perspective, but they can't see it like you can from a spiritual perspective. He goes on and says, you've had that veil removed. You can see and reflect. Not just can you see what the Holy Spirit, what God wants to do, but you can actually live that out and other people can see that. Other people look and say, man, you're different. You're changing because now you're a reflection of the glory of the Lord God working in your life. He goes on and he says, and the Lord, again, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like Him as we are changed into His glorious image. When you begin to understand that God's great plan for your life depends on your relationship with the Holy Spirit, He's the Lord. He's in charge of opening that up and unfolding that, leading you down the path so that you can experience all that God has. When you begin to understand how crucial this relationship is, it is easy to also understand why the enemy has targeted this so hard. Why he has brought so much confusion and chaos. Why there's so much conflict even among some Christians that, you know, make these accusations. If you don't do it this way, if you don't look that way, if you don't say it this way, then somehow you're not up to par. And none of that is really with the Holy Spirit here. That's all man-made expression stuff, man-made things about how we do this. But listen to me, God never, ever, ever intended it to be that way. Never. Never intended this to be an issue. In fact, when you go back to the New Testament, every New Testament believer, you can't find one that was afraid of this. Now, some of them didn't really understand it at first. But most of the New Testament believers, once they began to recognize what the Holy Spirit was there for, man, they were excited. They were kind of running. Oh, please pray for us. Please come talk to us. We want the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit. One particular church, the disciple preached a sermon. They said, we didn't even know there was a Holy Spirit. But now that we do, please, please. And it's all because of the way that the disciples taught them, and they taught them that because of the way Jesus taught the disciples. And so I ask you to turn to John chapter 14. We'll finish off here. This won't take us very long. We've kind of opened up some thinking now. And John chapter 14, we're just going to read a few scriptures. As Jesus is introducing to the disciples this Holy Spirit that's going to come for the first time. Now let me give you a little background. Jesus has been with these guys for 3 years. They've walked away from everything. They left their jobs. They left their businesses. They kind of adjusted their family rhythms. And they've been following Jesus around. And it has been amazing. Jesus is explaining some things to them that even as a good Jewish boy, they heard about, but they didn't understand what that meant. And Jesus said, oh, that means this. And he's given them a glimpse of the Heavenly Father they've never seen before. They didn't realize how generous and how loving and how gracious and how kind and how thoughtful the Heavenly Father was towards them. For them, it was rules and regulations and punishment if you don't. And Jesus is saying, no, let me teach you how the kingdom works. It's not that hard. It's not super complex rocket science. It's deep and it's spiritual. But anybody can step into this. And Jesus is unfolding this, and the disciples are just like, we've never heard this stuff before. Not only that, but Jesus is doing these things that absolutely defy natural law. He's walking on water at times. He's taking a little happy meal and feeding, you know, thousands and thousands of people, not just once, but on multiple occasions. Jesus is praying for people that they know, they've seen them, they've experienced them, have struggled with this, these addictions and these oppressions and these, you know, these psychological and psychotic things that are going on. They were all demonic. And Jesus prayed for them, and these people just right away just got normal and just lived the rest of their life. Some of them had these physical ailments, and I don't mean the common cold. I mean some of them in the Bible describes, that these are absolute creative miracles, amputees and things like that, and Jesus restores them to complete wholeness. It was amazing. If you're a disciple and you're walking with this guy, you're like, oh my gosh. Until Jesus pulls up to a campfire one time and says, hey, I got to talk to you guys. So we're kind of coming to a fork in the road here. And I've got to go now and do what I came to do. And he's referring to, he's going to purchase redemption. So he's going to go to the cross. He's going to be buried. He's going to rise again. And then he's going to ascend and sit on the right hand of the Father. And he's basically telling them, I'm leaving. They're shocked. I mean, they're shocked. They don't even know how to respond. And right away, Jesus said, but whoa, before you guys feeling abandoned, he said, I'm not leaving you by yourself. He said, I'm going to send somebody to you. And he begins to describe this somebody. Now, you got to put the Gospels together to kind of get, you know, a number of perspectives on this or a number of versions. But here's some of the things that Jesus said. Now, just listen. He says, I'm going to send this person to you, and this person's going to be gentle as a dove. This person's going to be wise as a counselor. This person is going to be as reassuring as a comforter. This person is going to be as loyal and as helpful as your lifelong best friend. Never walk away from you. This person's going to be resourceful and knowledgeable like an experienced and a skilled master craftsman in every and any area of your life. This guy will have the answers, and he's going to come and he's going to be with you forever. That's who he's going to be. Now, interesting, when you read Jesus' descriptives, there's not one thing in there that would cause anybody alarm. Neither did it cause these disciples alarm. They heard that, and after just hearing that Jesus was going to leave, now hearing that he's sending the Holy Spirit, and this is how the Holy Spirit's going to be, I would imagine they're all like, oh, okay, we still don't really understand that. I can't wrap my head around what it's like for Jesus not to be here, but okay, I'll be okay to meet this particular guy. So hold that thought now, those kind of descriptives in mind, and let's read in John chapter 14, verse 16 and 17, a couple of verses. He says, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate. And we'll study this a little bit deeper in other lessons, but let me just tell you this. The word advocate is translated in other translations of the Bible, helper or counselor or comforter or guide or as a partner. So this is going to be somebody who's going to come along, and he's coming for the specific reason of climbing into your life and partnering with you. And here's what he said, who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him. Here's the first reason why, because it's not looking for him. And the sad thing is, a lot of Christians aren't either. But he goes on and he says, and doesn't recognize them. So their spiritual eyes aren't open. So even if he walked right up to them, they wouldn't know what that was. They describe it as what it felt this way, and I experienced that, but they don't understand who that is. But notice this, he turns the corner and he says, but you know him. Why? because he lives with you now, and later he will be in you. Now, this is Jesus talking to the disciples, right? So they're not tangled up with all these opinions and all these weird experiences, and they're not tangled up with, you know, different podcasts and different preachers and different denominations. They're just listening to Jesus. And so four really simple, really obvious truths come rolling out of what Jesus just described in a couple of sentences. And if you'd like to take notes, here's what they are. Number one, the Holy Spirit is just like Jesus. Now, if I don't care where you're at on the spectrum of what's going on with the Holy Spirit in your life, this brings a lot of comfort. In fact, he said another advocate. The Greek word for another means one of the exact same kind. In other words, when somebody walks up, you know who you remind me of? Man, you talk just like him. You think just like him. Your expressions and everything. It's like you guys are related or something. You're just like him. He said that's how the Holy Spirit's going to be. This would have just relaxed the disciples. This would have said, listen, there are times when you had to go and take care of an errand and Jesus stayed here. And you're like, oh, okay, well, we'll try our best. But he said from this point on, he said that's not ever going to happen again. You're going to have someone who come climb in your corner. And that person's going to be just like me, and that person's going to talk just like me and think just like me, and he's going to be with you all the time. So the number one thing that they would have heard is he's going to be just like Jesus, and we have to let that soak in. If you have any other opinion of what it means to meet the Holy Spirit, other than what it's already meant, your experience has been with Jesus, you're wrong. The Holy Spirit's going to be just like Jesus. Here's number two. The Holy Spirit's partnership is forever. Now, this one was really important to them because remember, Jesus just got done telling them, I'm leaving. Now, they've been depending on him for 3 years. He's pulled them out of some really interesting scrapes, some really huge challenges, some of them life-threatening, and Jesus walked them right through the middle of it, and Jesus says, yeah, but I'm leaving. But he says, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, and he says this in verse 16, who will never leave you. In other words, Jesus is saying, I know this is hard to hear because I'm telling you that I'm going to walk away, but pay attention because this is the last time you will ever hear that. And as Christians, we need to understand the moment we've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit came and became part of our life, we will, from that moment on, we will never, ever, ever, ever be alone in any situation ever again, even though you feel like it sometimes. Even though you say that to the Lord sometimes, I feel like I'm so alone. You tell your spouse, you tell your friends, I just feel like I'm in this all by myself. Listen carefully, you're not. Not for one moment, not for a fraction of a second, for the rest of your existence on earth and all the way through eternity, will you ever, ever, ever be alone. Now, the fact that you don't know that, and the fact that you don't know how to lean into this partner that you have, that's what we're going to be exploring. But Jesus said, here's what you need to know. He's going to be with you forever. You will never, ever, ever be by yourself. Never, not one time. Now, one time. Here's number three. The Holy Spirit's partnership is familiar. Now, this is really important for a lot of you, okay? Some of you who are not sure how you feel about the Holy Spirit, some who are kind of in ankle deep and I don't really know what to do from here. This is really important. The Holy Spirit's partnership is going to be familiar. In verse 17, he said, you know him for he dwells with you. Again, Jesus has been with him for 3 years. And they've watched him, they've listened to his sermons, and there was something about when Jesus talked, we saw it in Luke chapter 4, people were riveted. I mean, people were in awe. It wasn't just intellectual stimulation. Something happened deep and would just grab them. To the point that when he was finished, rather than, you know, kind of a customary applause or whatever, hey, that was really good, you know, they would just sit and be like, I mean, it just takes a while because it just grabbed them. Not only that, but the miracles that he's done and the times that he said he got him out of life-threatening situations and provided resource right there in front of him. This was an amazing thing. And they experienced, they felt, they remember what that felt like. They know what it's like to sit around the campfire after a big meeting and Jesus is sharing this and how comforted and confident, you know, they felt after talking with him. They understood all that. He says, remember all that? You feel all that? Yeah. What you were really experiencing was the Holy Spirit. Every time that you felt that, every time you experienced it, that was the Spirit of the Lord on me, working through me. And what you didn't know is all this time for 3 years, that's what you were experiencing. But you didn't know that. But that's exactly what it was. Now, that's great news for some of you. Because some of you weren't sure how you felt about the Holy Spirit, but you love when the worship service gets there and all of a sudden the atmosphere shifts and you can feel the presence of the Lord and tears begin to stream down your face, or the joy of the Lord begins to bubble up, or you start to feel confident, or somewhere in a service or a message or a conversation before or afterwards or prayer at the altar, you find strength and encouragement and you walk away and say, man, God was in the house. What you may not know is that was the Holy Spirit. If you love that, you're going to love him, because that was him. And notice Jesus said one more thing. He says the Holy Spirit's partnership is deeper. Verse 17 said he's been with you all this time, so you'll recognize him. You know exactly what it feels like. He's been with you all this time. But he says, but he's going to be in you. And Jesus is talking about a depth of a relationship with the Holy Spirit, a partnership where you open yourself up and the Holy Spirit takes a deeper step into your life. And here's the wonderful news, that'll never bottom out. Never. It's like that, you know, that person you've been friends with forever. Oh, we've been friends with forever. But at some point you feel like, yeah, I know them. Well, part of that you're saying you're comfortable with them, you trust them, you know, you can rely on them. And so all that stuff's wonderful, but with the Holy Spirit, you still don't know how good he really is. You know what you've experienced. But the more you spend time with him, the deeper the relationship gets. And by the way, that doesn't stop all the way till we get to heaven, because Ephesians says that God will spend all of eternity unfolding the riches of his grace to us. We'll never tap out. The relationship you can have with the Holy Spirit just keeps getting deeper and deeper and sweeter as the years go by. Let me just share this with you too. I'm not talking about because you get to be a better person so he likes you better. No, part of it's the opposite. This has been my experience. This is the scriptural insight. Part of it's the opposite, because the more you know him, the more you trust him. And the more you trust him, you'll stop hiding stuff. You'll stop trying to rationalize and justify. Somehow you think you gotta say it right so you can talk him into liking you, because you don't really like yourself right now in some areas. The more I get to know the Holy Spirit, the more I can just be honest. I did a terrible job with that. Remember I told you I wasn't going to do it again? I did. I'm so sorry. And you'll experience his grace and his love. You'll experience his correction, but so gentle. So gentle, just so fitting, right what you need at the right time. It's wonderful when you begin to open up and this relationship gets personal. He wakes you up, and you know, this morning, almost 4 o'clock in the morning, I woke up and I can hear the Holy Spirit on the inside. Gil, are you awake? I am now. Come here, I want to talk to you about something. Well, it doesn't mean that it's easy. It doesn't mean that the room fills up with a glow and angels grab me and lift me out, you know, down to the coffee pot. And this doesn't mean that. I'm a human being. But I can feel the tenderness that he's tugging on my heart. I can feel him saying, come on, I want to share some things with you. I just want to hang out with you for a little bit. And there's nothing, you'd have never experienced a friendship or a relationship. And I'm a dad who is married to a lady that I am head over heels in love with after 33 years. She's absolutely my best friend, and we're growing in that, and we don't intend to slow down. But I've never experienced a relationship like the Holy Spirit. Nobody loves me like he does. Nobody talks to me like he does. Nobody understands the depths of my heart like he does. Nobody runs right into the messiness and the chaos and the like he does. Because he's my friend, he's my partner, and it's just like having Jesus right here in my life all the time. Hey, Gil, let me help you with that. Hey, hand that to me. That's too heavy for you. Let me carry that for you. Hey, let me show you what you need to do right there. I can help you with that. This is the Holy Spirit, and this is why Jesus told his disciples, "Oh, you got to have him. You got to have him in your life." And I'm hoping that as we unfold this study, that the Holy Spirit will come and personally introduce himself to you. Any reservations you have, he'll just wipe them all away and you'll say, never mind. Never mind, Holy Spirit, come on into my life. You've been blessed by God's word this morning.
Thanks again for listening. To hear more messages like this one, make sure to subscribe and check out our podcast channel for more messages. If you like what you're hearing, share it with your friends. For more content from Lakeshore and information on services, check us out at lakeshorecf.com.